Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
This is
going to
be a fun one, isn't it? This is going to be a fun one.
Introduce yourself.
This is Griffin McElroy.
And this is wonderful.
So this is a show where we talk about things that we like, things that are good, things we're into. It's been a minute
since
we've... let's see if we have any new friends in the studio. Oh, wait, it's us.
Yeah, we're in our East Coast office.
We have... we're summering in our East Coast
and
home.
Falling
and springing.
Wintering.
And wintering. And
and here indefinitely, hopefully forever.
Yeah. Here in Washington, D.C., we've completed our sojourn across this great nation of ours.
Yeah, and we took planes. Like, I don't want to make it sound like we drove across the country with our two young children. Like,
no,
we're not heroes.
But we did go all over this dang country during our flight from Texas. It all went great. Sadly, we did lose a friend, and that friend was my office chair, was damaged in the move, which I found out yesterday. I sat down to do a recording, and I heard a pop, a sort of squishy pop noise come from my butt area, which is never where you want that. And I stood up to see that my chair had quite literally exploded underneath and shot ink black oil all over our carpet that we had installed the day prior.
So and I told Griffin, like, when he told me, I was mostly glad that he was the first person to get a stain.
And it was a bad one.
I didn't want to be the first stain person.
I got the stain mostly up. But anyway, the energy in the room is as such. Rachel, sitting in her usual
my
chair.
Beautiful chair purchased for me after
rugged,
much complaint.
Rugged chair.
Yeah,
I would say.
Survived, no problem.
I'm sitting in a beanbag chair on the floor.
As I was walking into the office, I thought to myself, well, Griffin doesn't have a chair. One, I bet he's been using mine. Two, what's he going to do when we're both there?
Yeah.
And like a true gentleman,
yeah,
he gave me the chair.
Well, it is gentlemanly to do. And you know what else it is like to do? It's a really big Dharma move.
Yeah,
I'm sitting here, crissy crossy applesaucy, right on the floor, and
yeah,
you're in your business chair,
yeah,
doing
looking God, down on you quite
looking
literally
down on yeah. me and my finances. the mic stand doesn't reach down this
yeah,
far,
so
I am holding it in one hand.
It feels like you're like a real rogue reporter right now.
I'm a cool camp counselor. And I want to talk to you about drugs. We want to talk to you about the
you will have
you
a
like.
Chair, though. You ordered another one. You will have one by next recording,
I pray to God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a small wonder that you want to share with our friends? That noise is good. Henry's been really into sending Memojis, those like animated emoji videos.
Yeah.
And he sent one to Travis yesterday that was just the octopus Memoji.
Yeah.
But he just made him go. It's really good.
It's really good.
I guess that's my small wonder.
We sent a cat to your brother Justin, and he made meow noises for that.
Oh, that's fun.
My small wonder is going to be the whole new selection of like foods and groceries and
yes.
just the experience when you get to a new city and you're like, what do people eat here?
Yeah.
And where do they get it from? Like we're having that in real time.
That's
we've been here
fun.
A week now and we've eaten at quite a few new establishments.
We live very close to a Nando's, which I've always been intrigued by. I got myself some chicken wrap with the spicy French fries from Nando's. Golly,
it's
just as good as everybody.
They call
says.
Them chips.
That's
have
wonderful.
You noticed that?
No,
yeah,
how continental.
You go first.
I go first this week. I'm shooting from the hip a bit. I did not prepare. My office is still in its, I would say, nascent. Pupil stage and a larval stage of being set up. So we're coming in real hot on this one. I want to talk about a game that I have always admired from afar, but it was kept out of reach based on my sort of location on Earth. And now it is at my fingertips and it's at Henry's fingertips. We've been playing it nonstop. It's Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go, the I have talked about Pokemon before. You're making a face at me like,
well, I didn't realize. So the Pokemon Go from your didn't have the little clicky guy that you have now.
Sure. So Rachel is referencing the Pokemon Go Plus, which is a little accessory that I think was available very shortly launch.
I thought this was a whole new Pokemon game.
No, no. It's the same old Pokemon game. It came out in 2016 from a developer called Niantic, who specializes in making these like geolocation-based games where your position in the real world references your position in the game world, which is sort of overlaid on top of it. And so your sort of exploration and most of the game mechanics involve exploring the real city in which you live. The Pokemon Go Plus is just like a little accessory that you can, you know, slide onto your watch band or whatever, and then while you're walking around and a Pokemon is nearby, you don't have to pull out your phone and throw balls at it. You just click the button and it will do it.
I didn't really know for sure how it was working. I knew that you had to have your phone.
Yes.
But I didn't understand how the little clicker interacted.
And obviously it was in Austin, but our neighborhood was completely devoid of like cell signal.
And just not a lot of pedestrians in our area.
Not a lot of walking. Unless you live like in the city, unless you live downtown, Austin is not a particularly walkable place.
Correct.
You can obviously drive to one of the many gorgeous parks or walk to one of the gorgeous parks that are there, and there will be ample opportunities for you to catch monsters on the go, as it were. But man, we live in D.C. Like, we live in the city, just a few minutes from a metro station, and I would say about 1,000 Pokestops, which is where you visit to get your Pokeballs and items and stuff like that.
I'm glad that you brought this, because I have wanted to ask questions about it.
Please, yeah.
Because it is the thing most frequently that will get Henry out of the house right now.
Yes.
Which is exciting for
me. Very, very, very. We're also in this salesperson mode still for the city, and it's working. Like, Henry, I think, is really enjoying it.
We've tried to do like a fun thing almost every day that like kind of introduces the city to him in like an exciting way.
Yeah.
And it used to be you could only really get him out of the house if you were like, all right, we'll go to Target.
Yeah.
But have you noticed? He hasn't asked really to go to Target lately.
Yeah, and we live pretty close to each other. it's amazing. Like, one of the first things I did with him here is I wanted to ride the bus with him so I could like introduce him to the bus. We took him on the subway last time we came here when we were in our first sort of
He loves that mode. Subway, man.
He loves the subway. And so we took a bus, and just like at every bus stop, he would like catch a few monsters and spin a Pokestop, and then we took this bus all the way down to Georgetown and went and saw the DC Super Pets movie, which, second small wonder, pretty fun, I'll say. That's my review. And then we would just come home and look at our horde of Pokemon that we had caught during our walk or journey or whatever, and it's amazing. It's really, really, really great.
So I want to ask, so you get a lot of duplicates.
Yes.
Because we spend a lot of time in our neighborhood.
Sure.
I heard you mention something like if you get enough of the same kind, you can do something else.
Yeah. So when you catch a Pokemon, later on, you can transfer it to the Pokemon professor for research purposes. And in exchange, you get a piece of candy that is exclusive to that Pokemon.
Okay.
And then you feed another one of that same Pokemon that candy, and it evolves them to their
form.
There is a so when the game launched in 2016, I was like stoked. I was like on top of it. We were in Austin at the time, and I was I was ready and raring to
got out of the house like eagerly to get started.
But the game was in rough shape when it launched.
Yeah.
Both sort of technically, like crashing was a huge issue. Just straight up did not work most of the time. But even when it did work, there wasn't much to do. You could walk around and catch Pokemon, and you could find eggs and hatch those. And then there was this really rudimentary like gym battling system that was not very good. Now there's almost too much to do. Like, I'm still finding new sort of features. Like, now Team Rocket is all over, and they'll just like post up at the fucking Nando's Pokestop and be like, this is our Nando's now. Get out of here. And I'll be like, I don't think so. Go Magmar. And, you know, we'll have to destroy Team Rocket.
So you battle in the...
Yeah.
Okay.
There's battles. There's three like factions that you join when you start playing. And so you are always vying for control of like these different gyms. So if your faction doesn't control it, you can go and try and knock out the Pokemon that are currently sort of housed there. And then you can put your own Pokemon up as defenders. There are like big 20 player raids that you can do that like count down to like at 1:30 at the Nando's. Palkia is going to come stomping around. And so you can, you know, I guess I have yet to do this, but ostensibly team up with 19 other real human beings and just descend upon the Nando's to get that good legendary. But then there's also like trading and there's a Pokedex with like over 700 Pokemon in it to fill out that Henry is like very into. I say Henry, I'm also very into it. It is just cool, the community that exists around this game, because it is not, I would say, gigantic. Like, it is not this zeitgeist that everybody's doing. I think maybe for a week it was that when it first launched, but the players who are still playing it are very hardcore about it, and I think it's because it is a game that is sort of associated so closely with one's lifestyle.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be walking around anyway because I live in a city and I enjoy exploring the city. May as well catch a few Pokemon along the way. And then these, like, really neat, like, communities pop up. Like, there's little Pokemon Go, like, Discord channels for, like, you know, every little, like, area in the country, really. And you can team up with them and try and work together to do those raids and stuff like that. It's very, very, very cool now, I would say. And I don't know how long we will keep playing it, but I mean, we are both still very deeply into it. And the way it has dovetailed with our attempt to get Henry comfortable in a completely new time zone has been nothing short of like kismet.
Yeah. And, I'm very glad for that. It gives him a very kind of easy carrot, you know, because if we suggest going to a place he's never been, he can't really envision what he is walking into. But if Griffin's like, hey, maybe we can catch some more Pokemon, like that's all we need.
Yeah. It's very cool. I'll post my trainer code up in the Facebook group or something like that, because you know I need those postcards. Those are important. Every time you hit a Pokestop, you get a little postcard, and you can send it to other players, and they can like open it to get items, and then your friendship level like increases, and you get experience points. But you get those from Pokestops, and so I have like a million from this church we used to live close to Austin.
Yeah.
And we would just like, you know, I would walk by it sometimes, or really anytime I left the house, we like had to pass by this church. And so, I'm still sending people postcards from this church in Austin because I have so many of them in reserve. Anyway, it's a cool game, and I thought the idea was cool when it first launched, but the execution was a little bit off. But I would say that they have, mostly gotten over that now, and I'm just having a hell of a lot of fun with it. And so is Henry, and I very much appreciate that.
Yeah.
Can I steal you away?
Yes.
Good.
Hey, it's John Moe, host of Depresh Mode, a podcast about people's mental health journeys. Guess who we got? Guess who? It's Jamie Lee Curtis.
I look at life now as the game of guess who, which is simply the process of elimination. I know what I don't like. That's how I found out who I am.
Jamie Lee Curtis on addiction, show business, and fooling people, all on Depresh Mode from Maximum Fun, wherever you get your podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Manolo, we have a show to promote. It's called Dr. Game Show.
It's a family-friendly podcast where listeners submit games and we play them with callers from around the world.
Oh, sounds good. New episodes happen every other Wednesday on MaximumFun.org.
It's a fast and loose oasis of absurd innocence and naivete.
Are you writing a poem?
No, and just saying things from my memory. And it's a nice break from reality. Are we allowed to say that?
I don't know. It sounds bad.
It comes with a 100% happiness guarantee.
It does not. Come for the games and stay for the chaos.
You want to know my thing?
Absolutely, I do.
My thing will come as no surprise to you.
Okay.
It is the giant panda.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, these guys.
These big old guys.
These big guys.
Part of our salesmanship when it comes to DC has always been the pandas.
Yeah.
Because very, very few places have them.
Yeah. Aren't there only two in America? Two. It's us in San Diego, right? I don't know that they have pandas anywhere else.
So there are 600 pandas that live in zoos around the world.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know how those zoos are stacked up.
Yeah.
But I mean, I know that I've never lived anywhere with a panda.
Yeah, that's true.
And I mean, they're just undeniable. You know, they're the cutest for a lot of reasons.
There aren't many animals where just like when they do anything, you're like, oh, you fucking scamp. look at you literally just sitting down in a corner and scratching your leg.
They're like their body composition and their little faces. Like there is no part of a panda that I don't find adorable.
Yeah, sure.
And so I did like a little research on the giant panda and also a little research on how they came to the Smithsonian Zoo.
Okay. I will say it's fucked up. The Smithsonian Zoo puts the red panda exhibit right next to the giant panda exhibit, which is way bigger, which those red pandas probably look at the giant panda. Well, I mean, I guess they are giant, so they do need a little bit more space.
I don't think
but people would just breeze right by poor red panda. And I'm over here like red panda stan. Although I do think turning red has boosted the stock of the
right?
red panda.
You would hope so.
Yeah.
I feel like it's very easy for me to not associate the red panda with a giant panda, you know?
Well, that's wild.
Well, just because they're very different in a lot of ways, you know?
Why? One is red, famously.
Well, but also like the way they
One's
get around.
Giant. Yeah.
The way they get around is different,
yeah.
You know? And their tail, the tail situation.
The tail situation is wild, yeah.
So there's a lot I didn't know about pandas.
Okay. They're venomous. They have venomous barbs.
No, basically all pandas do is eat. They eat 70 to 100 pounds of bamboo each day.
That's a lot of bamboo.
Uh-huh.
I wish we could have had them at our old house when we had wild bamboo all over. Get one panda in there, they'd knock it out in an afternoon.
Apparently the Smithsonian Zoo used to take bamboo donations, which they don't anymore. But like that would have really
I would
come
have
in handy.
Happily kept a panda fat and happy
I know.
With our own shitty wild bamboo that I hated so much.
So the digestion of a panda is pretty inefficient, which is why they have to eat so much. They spend 10 to 16 hours a day feeding because they this is from the World Wildlife Federation. They
and their logo is a panda, so they
uh-huh.
know what the fuck they're talking about.
They poop 40 times a day.
That's
Can you imagine? You're spending 10 to 16 hours eating 70 to 100 pounds of food, and then you're just constantly pooping.
Just always kind of pooping. A
yeah.
little bit.
This is part of the reason when they talk about kind of the crisis around pandas being endangered for a long period of time.
Yeah.
Part of it is like, who's got time to get busy?
Yeah.
You know?
I would love to. Tonight is a very special night, Melissa. I appreciate you cooking the pot roast. You know it's my favorite. And you've put on some really smooth music. I know what you need tonight, but I cannot give it to you.
I cannot stop.
I can't. I have only pooped 26 times today. I have a lot to catch up on.
I want to respect you and your body, so I don't want to be eating or pooping while we're engaged.
No.
So I'd like to stop both of them, but I can't.
I cannot, because I do it 40 times a day.
In addition, when I talk about the difficulty to get pandas to successfully mate, a female panda is only in heat once a year in the spring for 12 to 25 days. And then this is the article the Smithsonian said, and she's only receptive to mating for 2 to 7 of those days.
All right. Yes. I can't. That character is really hard to play.
Yes, pretty
right.
Gross. Right.
Sound like familiar? You all know what I mean. There's a between. I feel like I can make that joke, but also you could very easily lay the pooping 40 times a day right back at my.
No, name. I'm not going to do that.
No, and I'm not going to do the other thing.
Well, you kind of did a little bit.
There was a coon. You have an insatiable.
Okay. No. No. So that's it for the year. So if it doesn't work out, we got to wait a while to try again. That's why most of the pandas you'll see in zoos are a result of insemination.
Yeah.
Like there are panda couples, you know, like for example, the Smithsonian Zoo has Mei Zhang and Tian Tian.
Yeah.
Which arrived in 2000. And they have produce several offspring,
sure.
but not through their lovemaking.
Yeah, sure.
But I wanted to talk about how they got started. You know how we talked about presidential gifts and animals?
Are you about to tell me there was a president that had a panda bear?
It was a gift.
It was a gift.
So Ling Ling and Xing Xing were a gift to Pat Nixon when she mentioned in China that she loved pandas. They were like on a visit.
And they just...
In 1972, she's like, oh, you know what? I love pandas. And so they...
Gave her two pandas?
They gave her two pandas. Like, here you go. We got tons of these guys. Take two.
Take a couple. That's wild. How do you... A panda seems like it would be a pretty horrible... It poops 40 times a day, Pat. Having fun, Pat? So cute and fluff. That was probably a gift in a very sinister sense. They're like, oh, you love pandas, huh? You really love these pandas? All right. Yeah. I hope you don't have carpet. Here they come. That's two of them. That means 80, Pat. 80 a day, Pat, between the two of them, Pat. Have fun.
So the reason I even knew about this is that when we went to the zoo the other day, they were talking about the 50th anniversary. It was the arrival of those pandas. It happened 50 years ago. April 2022 is the 50th anniversary.
Huh. Were they the first pandas in America?
I can't tell you. Okay. I just know that's when the Smithsonian got in the panda game.
Okay. I see.
The current pandas that I mentioned, Mei Zhang and Tian Tian, have been producing cubs. Mei Zhang actually gave birth to a panda at age 22, making her the oldest panda to give birth in the United States.
Oh.
It's kind of exciting.
Yeah, I don't know, but also I don't think I want to know the lifespan of a panda.
Yeah, I don't actually. I didn't look it up.
I'm uncomfortable with the idea of them, you know, oofing, because it's like they're so powerful and so cute. I'd like the idea of just they retire.
So instead. So the thing that is kind of, I mean, I get it. But so this relationship with China and the China Wildlife Conservation Association is kind of how we stay in pandas.
Yeah.
And what happens is we, you know, get these pandas together. They produce an offspring. And after about 4 years, we send them back to China just to help kind of repopulate. Okay. So pandas are actually no longer endangered. They're considered a vulnerable species.
I can't imagine there's a lot of panda like hunting. I don't know. I shouldn't talk out of my ass. It's just, it doesn't seem like they have many natural predators if they exist mostly in yeah. captivity.
Yeah, no, I mentioned earlier that there were 600 pandas living in zoo, and there are as few as 1,800 giant pandas living just in the wild.
Okay, so it's not a lot.
Yeah. So if you go to the Smithsonian Zoo website, there's a panda cam. You can just watch these pandas
like
anytime you want. They have birthday parties for the pandas.
I like that.
They also have little, like, celebrations when a panda, like, goes back to China. It feels sad to me. I get that it's not, but this idea that these parents get together, they spend 4 years with their baby, and then they send their baby off.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm sure it's different for them, you know, than it is for panda, us.
Yeah, we shouldn't project our human expectations upon these.
But I guess I'm just saying, so Meizhong and Tian are only going to be here until 2023.
Oh my God.
And then they're going back to China.
Well, who are they going to put in that big panda bear exhibit? Don't tell Henry that.
I maybe we get some new pandas. I don't know.
Oh, hold on. Now we're talking fresh, young, sexy, giant pandas.
Come in on skateboards.
Coming in. What's up, losers?
I love these pandas. I love them so much. I love that when you go to the zoo, it's like half the zoo is basically dedicated to these pandas and all of their merchandise.
It is such a big to-do. And then you walk in and you just see these big, just slow, just dum-dums, just like sitting like they have four bones in their whole body.
Yeah.
And like, all of this for you, you special, beautiful, spherical boy.
It is. I mean, it's a large habitat, and it is easy to kind of tell where the pandas are because people will cluster. And if you don't see anybody clustered, most likely you have to go inside. And so what happened to us this last time is that we were like, okay, they're inside. And then by the time we got to the inside, they were back outside again.
We saw one of their butts just walking away. Not today. But we've gone before and seen them just like straight up dead eye looking at us while eating just a big cabbage or something.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you like this? Is this doing it for you? Stick around. I got something I'm going to do a lot today.
So that's pandas.
Thank you, pandas. And thank you to Bowen and Augustus for the use of our theme song, Money Won't Pay. You can find a link to that in the episode description. We should, I don't know that we've formally said this, but I would hope that people would put it together that we don't live in Austin anymore. So please, we've shut down that box.
Yeah, the P.O. box is no longer, and we have not replaced it.
We have not replaced it. I don't know what the plan is for that, but yeah, please don't send stuff to
thank you to everybody that has sent us
yeah we don't stuff. Mention it, but it's people have sent us some really amazing stuff. Mm-hmm. And we appreciate it. Hey, thanks to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. Go to MaximumFun.org, check out all the great shows that they have there. Maybe you'll find a new favorite. Maybe you'll find something you just can't get enough of. And we have merch at macroymerch.com. We got some shows coming up. You can find those at bit.ly/McElroy tours.
I don't know.
I'll double check on that. Yeah, I think that's it. Thank you for being patient with us while we went bi-weekly there for a little bit.
Yeah.
Now we're back and better than ever.
Yeah.
My body hurts so much.
Yeah, we have been unpacking and on our whirlwind tour of the country and of DC, and it has been an exhausting time.
Yeah.
But
sitting in a beanbag chair
is not the
I don't feel the best about myself.
Not just the beanbag chair, but like a beanbag chair we've had for like 5 or 6 years now.
Yeah.
It doesn't offer a lot of lumbar support.
A lot of the beans have fused on a sort of molecular level.
We left some beans in Austin, I'm sure.
For sure. And so I'm sitting on the ground.
Yeah.
And it's not doing much for my posture.
Do you appreciate, though, that I'm looking directly into your eyes and nowhere else?
When you were doing your bit, you were looking a lot at your computer, and so I did feel like I was trying to get the teacher's attention, and she just wasn't giving it to me.
I'm just saying, in your position, I could be looking somewhere else.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
But I'm not.
You're not.
Because I respect you.
And I respect you. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.